Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio, sitting in for John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Wednesday, July 26, 2023. Sudanese civilian parties meeting in Cairo resolved to work to end the country's armed conflict, which started on April 15.
If we stop the war today, it's better than tomorrow, because at the end of the day, we will lose this country, and this war could lead to a wider civil war.
An intercommunal violence has claimed an unknown number of people in South Sudan's Pibor administrative area.
I am confident and sure that nobody from my county has gone to fight in Pibor.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese civilians who represent a coalition of political parties are calling on the country's warring factions to end the armed conflict that broke out on April 15th. The pro-democracy coalition met for the first time since fighting began between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary rapid support forces. Michael Atid reports for VOA from Juba, South Sudan.
At the conclusion of a two-day meeting yesterday in Cairo, Egypt, the Forces for Freedom and Change, or FFC, agreed to initiate a political process to end the fighting and call for unity among civilian pro-democracy forces. Jafar Hassan, FFC Central Committee spokesperson, says the group is trying to establish a civilian-led front to restore peace and democracy in the country.
If we stop the war today, it's better than tomorrow, because at the end of the day, we will lose this country, and this war could lead to a wider civil war. All the indications are leading to this day by day.
At a press briefing in Cairo Tuesday, Tijani Assisi, a prominent political figure in the FFC, accused some countries that have attempted to mediate between the Sudanese military factions of being biased.
All the mechanisms that tried to intervene in solving the Sudan's crisis were not neutral. We have been telling them in their face on several occasions that there's mechanisms to end Sudan's conflict are biased. We are even convinced that they are part of the ongoing war and destruction in Sudan.
Another member of the Democratic Bloc, Nuruddin Taha, downplayed the Cairo resolutions and even asserted that the FFC shares in the blame for the ongoing war. Speaking on Al Hadas TV channel last night, Taha says Sudan cannot achieve lasting peace if there is no inclusive political process to address the root causes of the conflict. Khartoum resident Muhammad Kandasha welcomes the Cairo declaration, saying if implemented, it will restore civilian authority in Sudan.
Sincerely, this war should be a lesson learned to all leaders so that we avoid the disaster that occurred in the country. This war has impacted severely on general lives, including the huge cultural heritage of Khartoum.
A statement released on Tuesday by Clementine Salami, the humanitarian coordinator in Sudan, says the protection of civilians remains a key concern, with reports of sexual and gender-based violence rising, as well as reports of family separation and child recruitment by military forces. It also says health facilities lack sufficient staff and supplies and are barely functional in some areas. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
South Sudan national lawmakers say Sudanese refugees in the country are facing a dire humanitarian situation. One lawmaker on the National Assembly's Parliamentary Committee for Human Rights is calling on the government to address the poor conditions for refugees at the Gorom refugee settlement outside Juba. Manyang David Mayar has the report for VOA from Juba.
It is a quite hot, sunny day at Gorom Refugee Settlement. Near a white tent marked UNHCR, in big blue letters, Sudanese refugees are seated in groups under a few trees. One topic dominates their conversations, the lack of food and other services at the camp. Sudanese refugee Faria Osman Abdallah says life has been difficult since she arrived at the camp.
It has been 2 months since we arrived at the camp. There's no food, no water, and nothing has been given to us. My child has been admitted to the hospital since yesterday. He has not eaten anything. We need food, water, and health care services.
The World Food Program is using cash-based transfers to provide half rations of food to the refugees registered at the Gorom Refugee Settlement. Long lines of Sudanese refugees wait at the distribution center in the settlement to receive their cash. Refugee Muna Abdul Rahim just received 50,000 South Sudanese pounds, the equivalent to $50, for her family of 11 people.
This money will not be enough for us. It is too little. It will finish today and tomorrow. And besides, I have children who are sick. I need to buy sorghum, sugar. What will this money buy? It will not buy anything. And they say it is for a month. Will it finish a month?
Regina Alwell, chairperson of the Specialized Committee for Human Rights and Humanitarian Affairs in the National Legislative Assembly, is urging the government and various agencies to support the refugees.
For that reason, I call upon the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs, Human Rights Commission, and other humanitarian agencies in South Sudan to rise up with courage and provide humanitarian support to the Sudanese refugees.
National lawmaker Boutros Alson Magaya says the MPs will raise the issue of the camp's poor condition with the office of President Salva Kiir.
We used to say before that Sudanese and South Sudanese are one nation in two countries. So when they come here running from war, just like when some of South Sudanese went to Khartoum or went to the north during our wartime, we need to make sure that they have basic services like water, shelter, health facilities, and so on.
John Dabi is deputy head of the South Sudan Commission for Refugee Affairs. He says the large influx of Sudanese refugees has overwhelmed the government's and humanitarian agencies' response plan.
The challenges are huge. The funds from donors coming from Europe is no more available because they have their own crisis. The Ukraine crisis have taken all the resources that used to come to Africa. So today, we are thankful to them. The little they are doing, let us appreciate.
Dabi says South Sudan is now home to over 25,000 refugees who have fled the conflict in Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
Still on people fleeing the violence in Sudan, the UN says more than 100,000 South Sudanese living in Sudan have returned to their home country since Sudan's conflict broke out in April. The number is growing rapidly, with an average of 1,000 more arriving each day. Henry Wilkins reports from Renk, South Sudan.
The town of Renk in northern South Sudan is accessible only by a long boat ride or plane from the capital Juba, but it's connected to Sudan's capital Khartoum by a paved road. Since Sudan's war erupted in April, the food and goods that used to arrive along the road have stopped coming. South Sudanese who fled to Sudan years ago for refuge from their own country's civil war arrive instead. They are in desperate need of help. Francis James Hakim says his journey here was perilous as they passed checkpoints run by the Sudanese army and the paramilitary group the army is at war with, the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF. Hakim says on the way, we found the Rapid Support Forces, RSF. They checked and searched us thoroughly, he says. If you have ID, no problem. But if you tell them you're Sudanese, it's a problem for sure. He says the only solution is bribery. If you have enough money, they let you go. Many returnees like Hakim identify as Sudanese because they have lived there most or sometimes all of their lives, but do not have citizenship. Hakim left South Sudan when he was a toddler. More than 100,000 returnees have arrived in South Sudan, mostly through Renk, since Sudan's conflict began. But having escaped the fighting, they're faced with a new set of problems. Lan Aik is a community leader among the returnees. He says he came from Khartoum, but the problem facing us now, instead of insecurity, is that we do not have enough to eat. He says we also have a problem with shelter. It's the rainy season, he adds, and everyone here is living without proper shelter. The UN says roughly 1,000 people are arriving to Renk each day, with no end in sight to Sudan's war. Kiganzi Niakato is with the UN's World Food Programme in South Sudan.
Yeah, but we do expect more as we hear that the conflict is intensifying, increasing and spreading across South Kordofan and other parts of Sudan. We are expecting much more. The rains have not helped. They're preparing for cholera. Measles cases have already started being reported.
Although the returnees are citizens, the South Sudanese government does not want them to stay in Renk. They are being relocated to other parts of the country where, because they are citizens, they will have access to the labour market and have at least some hope of supporting themselves. Most say they want to get out of Renk, which is starved of resources to support them due to access difficulties and lack of funding, as soon as possible. Teresa William is another returnee. She says the authorities need to clear the returnee site so the community can live peacefully. The conditions are very challenging. People are living outside and they're suffering. You can see the reality, she adds. Yet, as the UN and local authorities struggle to relocate the huge numbers arriving, it's unclear how long she will have to remain in the limbo of Renk. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Renk, South Sudan.
International news media reported Wednesday that that military vehicles have blocked access to Niger's presidential palace. And security sources have said President Mohamed Bazoum was being held inside. Reuters News says the streets of Niger's capital Niamey appeared calm on Wednesday, despite concerns that West Africa's sixth coup since 2020 could be underway. Niger's presidency issued a statement saying Bazoum and his family were well. It added that the presidential guards had started an anti-republican movement in vain and that the national army was ready to attack them if they did not come to their senses. However, the statement was later deleted amid doubts about who was in control. Soldiers took control of all roads leading to the national television station, which was playing a children's French lesson on Wednesday afternoon. Any potential military takeover could complicate a Western-backed fight against a jihadist insurgency in the Sahel region. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, the American Coroner in Juba celebrates 10 years of service. Stay tuned.
In Sudan, witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Authorities in the Greater Bibor administrative area say an unknown number of people have been killed and villages set on fire by gunmen suspected of coming from Ayod and Twitch East counties in neighboring Jonglei State. A Greater Bibor administrative area official says the armed men have caused a mass destruction in Bibor since Sunday. Dengai Deng has the report for VOA from Bor.
Abraham Kelang, information minister in the Greater Bibor administrative area, accuses armed young men from Jonglei's Ayod, Uror and Twitch East counties of attacking Bibor villages. He says fighting has been raging in the villages of Nanam and Gumruk over the past few days, and thousands have fled to the bush for safety.
Criminal from Jonglei still at Ayod County, Twitch East counties, and others in Urur County. That are our lands in GPA land. Currently, they are staying in place called Loden, and they are dividing himself to two. Side of Gumruk County, staying in Loden place, but others team inside of Pangola is staying in place called Nyot. This is place the youth from Jongole is staying currently there with GPA.
James Chualjek, the commissioner of a youth county, says he is not aware of any youth from his county taking part in the violence in Pibor.
I was in Juba for a peace conference, and after returning from Juba, I talked to the people in my area, and they have accepted peace. The next peace conference will be held in a youth, so people are waiting for that peace conference. I am confident and sure that nobody from my county has gone to fight in Pibor.
But Machot Galwak, commissioner of Urur County, says he has received reports that a so-called magician from his area mobilized young people who may have launched an attack on Pibor.
They are not used from law. They are a small group from the area of magicians, darkness. This is the group that have gone and fought in Pibor. We, the government of Jonglei State, are talking with the magician, darkness, to talk to his young men so that the youth that have gone to the Vuj return.
Commissioner Galwak says he has dispatched a peace delegation composed of local chiefs and elders to engage the youth and convince them to stop the violence. Kelang says officials from the Greater Pibor area are still committed to implementing the peace deal reached recently between the communities of Jonglei State and Greater Pibor Administrative Area.
1 week ago, we have a conference in Juba, which is calling all commissioners from Jonglei and GPA plus Red Chief plus youth representative, which is participating in community conflict, is spending three or four days in Juba. After their returning back to home, we surprisingly we found information and some of criminal from Jongole came and attacked. But we have asked authority of Jongole that if criminal police find way to go and talk with them to return back. Conflict is not a way of solving any problem.
Minister Kelang is urging Jonglei state authorities to round up the magician and youth from Jonglei who are fighting in Pibor to de-escalate the situation. Cattle raids, revenge killings and child abductions have become a common occurrence in parts of eastern Equatoria and Jonglei states and the greater Pibor administrative area, despite many goodwill agreements signed by the communities in recent years. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
The American Corner at the University of Juba is celebrating its 10-year anniversary this month. It provides services and information to students and the general public. During a commemoration event yesterday, the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan called the American Corner an important part of the U.S. presence in South Sudan. Julianus Japai has more for VOA from Juba.
U.S. Ambassador to South Sudan Michael J. Adler says the American Corner is a place for exploration, collaboration, and learning.
This has been a place that has hosted a wide range of open, free discussion, including speakers from our own embassy, other U.S. government officials, and speakers from third countries. Some people have joined sessions virtually, and I think it's magnificent that such good use can be made of technology.
Adler notes, recent events have included discussion about the life and work of the civil rights activist Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Vice Chancellor of the University of Juba, Professor John Akech, says the continued sanction on South Sudan targeting government officials indirectly hurts entrepreneurs because at the university they are unable to buy books from Europe and transport them to South Sudan. But he admits the American Corner provides employment opportunity and other benefits to South Sudanese.
I will not deny that they are not contributing to the future democracy.
But there are big things that the American government can actually do to improve relations and to make the current peace to be sustainable. I believe South Sudanese are very creative people. I believe our cultures are actually attuned to democracy and the rules of law and the human rights. Please help us do that.
Elizabeth Falcon, a regional public engagement specialist with the U.S. Embassy in Kigali, Rwanda, who attended the commemoration event, encouraged students and others to continue visiting the American Corner because of the learning opportunities there.
Every American space offers English classes, skills and training workshops, access to news and to research, and to information and life, information about life and culture in the United States. All of this for free. We do this as part of our commitment to you, the people of South Sudan, and to people all over the world who want to learn, grow, and build a better future.
Irene Jackson is an entrepreneur and a member of the Young African Leaders Initiative, or YALI, and a frequent user of the American Corner. She says the Corner has helped her connect with other young people and dedicated community leaders.
The Corner activated in me a sense of responsibility towards my society, the importance of leaving a positive print to make a difference and to be the change. For that, I thank the U.S. Embassy. I thank the University of Juba, the American Corner team for their endless work and support for youth, students, and all of us, members of this great and amazing Corner.
The American Corner is located in more than 140 countries around the world. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
It's still on U.S. South Sudan relations. The United States Assistant Secretary for African Affairs, Molly Fee, emphasized the Biden administration's recognition of Africa as an important ally during her address to 14 journalists at the Foreign Press Center on Monday. Fee held the U.S.-Africa summit held last year, considering it a success story for both President Biden and the African heads of state who participated in the summit in Washington. Imoya Daniela reports from the U.S. state of Tennessee.
Speaking to journalists from 14 African countries, including South Sudan, who are on a State Department-sponsored leadership program, former U.S. Secretary of State John Carson says the Biden administration has set Africa as a priority foreign policy of the United States government.
The administration committed itself to continuing to support programs like PEPFAR, which over the last 25 years has saved some 25 million African lives from the scourge of HIV and AIDS.
Jude Devonmon, Special Assistant to President Biden and Senior Director for African Affairs to the National Security Council, says the United States has bumped money into the programs that benefit Africa.
What is important is what we do with Africa, not for Africa. And what are the ways in which we can, I think, since Senator Fee will talk a little bit more about this, how do we make sure that Africans are at the table as all the most consequential decisions that will shape our future are decided?
The U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Africa Affairs, Molly P. told the journalist that the Biden administration values the important role the media plays in Africa.
It's long been a component of our engagement in Africa to support a free press, to support your role in investigating topics, sharing information. I think in the past few years, given COVID, given all the challenges the continent is facing, you've incurred many of you danger, as well as provided a real service to your citizens, fellow citizens, in sharing information.
She says President Joe Biden and his team have a special place for Africa, adding that the current administration has invested in many projects in most of the African countries.
As you know, we've long had a serious engagement in Africa on health. health security. With the COVID pandemic, as well as the Ebola pandemic and the HIV/AIDS pandemic, we all understand now that disease does not recognize or respect borders. And if any one of us is sick or endangered by an epidemic, then all of us are.
Cousin, who has served as an ambassador in many African countries, says the current U.S. administration is dedicated to developing good work relations with African leaders.
The president of the United States, through an executive order, has established a diaspora engagement council with a membership of 12 individuals. They will be coming from different areas of the private sector. They will be a source of advice and information on how to improve relations between the diaspora in the United States and African countries abroad.
Ambassador P says the U.S. government is addressing some of the challenges facing people in Africa. She says the Biden administration has supported countries going through turmoil.
As you know, we've long had a serious engagement in Africa on health security. With the COVID pandemic, as well as the Ebola pandemic and the HIV/AIDS pandemic, we all understand now that disease does not recognize or respect borders. And if any one of us is sick or endangered by an epidemic, then all of us are.
The 2 weeks State Department-sponsored leadership program brought together journalists from 14 African countries to learn, meet U.S. leaders, and visit media houses in the United States. For VOA News, I am Imoya Daniela, reporting from Tennessee, Memphis.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
VOA's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary on August 14th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our programs. Send a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number, +1 202-258-3076. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know about a particular news story that you connected with. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa and tell us what stories you think we should cover or how we can improve. That number again is +1 202-258-3076. And thanks for 60 years of support. And that's all we have for you this Wednesday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Lomoreka and the song Salam Salam. Been listening to Lomoreka and the song Salam. I'm your host Nabil Biagio in Washington. On behalf of our producer Kwame Ofori and engineer David, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Salam, ya
have a good